right. I've been looking forward to this, Mr. Samir, for a while. So welcome to the Leaders Who Care series.
Thank you, Mark, mutually. And it's a pleasure and delight always to spend quality time with genuinely a leader who does care.
Wow, I didn't even have to pay you for that. That was pretty good. Maybe I can cut that out as a snippet or something after that.
Promotion there.
Exactly. Always the best place to start is to get a little brief introduction of yourself. Now, this is key because the first thing guys usually do is they say their title and what they do. What I'm looking for in this introduction is we'll get to the business and other stuff first. Tell me about who Samir is in the sense of where you are now, where you're from, family, what's your favorite color, maybe something you've never told anybody else in the world and you want to reveal it now, stuff like that.
Well, it's funny that you ask that because I'm oftentimes engaged to speak on a subject that's near and dear to me, which is networking and building relationship capital on and offline. And there's that question people oftentimes ask when you're at an event, what do you do? And it's that question that like, oh my goodness, like now everything I say is going to define me. And I never, although most, I think you said guys relative to women introduce their title, that's something I never share. I always say, first and foremost, I'm an educator. I'm passionate about learning and helping others make the most informed decisions. And I believe that, when you learn, that's the miracle of compound interest applied to knowledge. And I do that by authoring content, by speaking at events all over the world that I've done for the past 15 years. And I found that that also helps me just be a person of value. And so a little bit about Samir, born in upstate New York, go Bills, although I'm a diehard Eagles fan. And I moved to Pennsylvania when I was about five, and my parents owned a gas station. So I'm of Indian American descent, and they owned a Quickie Mart, to go on the stereotypes. Actually, kids did call me Apu in school. And like, I was like, what is Apu? Like, I don't know what that is. Cause I didn't watch The Simpsons. Cause the Fox was, you know, I had those bunny rabbit ears on the TV that we had to use to, in order to get the signal in. But I learned a lot about self-reliance and being able to deal with people at a very young age. I was always that kid that babysat kids, mowed lawns, shoveled driveways, and founded two startups when I was in college at Georgetown University, and learned a lot about the last one to get paid and first one to fix all the problems, and had a business partner walk out with a significant amount for a college business and unearned revenue, and learned a little bit about trust. He was kind of walking around holding his girlfriend's hand while I was hauling laundry bags, and that didn't make me happy, but I did not approach that in a non-flicked type of way, going on to some of the training that we just had with our Girl Power Talk team. And I always had a passion in finance. And so, I'm someone who that worked as a banker, and that led me to kind of other areas, but
We'll get into that. Tell me a little bit more about, do you have a partner? Do you have kids? Things like that.
Married, no kids. I think that I'm someone that, just tries to live each day to the fullest and be somebody, that tries to add value one day at a time. It's one of those things where try to spend my time effectively when nobody's watching. So, that is reading books, working out, and working on our businesses and our nonprofit organization. And, it's true. You never work a day in your life if you love what you do.
So when you were a kid, and I think what you're talking about is it's kind of gone by the wayside a little bit, summer jobs and mowing lawns and this and that and the other, where you learn so much about everything. And I remember delivering the TV guides when they were like this big when I was a kid, and they were like, I don't know, 15 cents or 20 cents, ridiculous amount, but way back in 60s when I was like 10 or something, and or 9 and 8. And this one lady for a 15-cent TV guide gave me 25 cents each time. And she told me why she gave it to me, because of how I acted and how I did this and that, whatever it was. And, so it's interesting, and we'll get to influencers later, how you learn from a lot of the stuff you just talked about that you did as a kid and so on. So good for you. So were you, obviously you were a reader and whatnot. Did you play sports, music? Like that?
Yeah, I ran track in high school. I also played football in middle school, and wanted to play in high school. But sometimes when I've given talks, I've shared that I told my dad, he said I could do whatever I wanted when I grew up, and he always tried to inspire me. And he asked me in kind of ninth, 10th grade what I was going to do, and I said, Dad, I'm going to the NFL. And he said, he looked at like kind of the colleges I wanted to apply. He's like, these are all like nationally ranked programs. And I was like, Dad, like I do pretty well on our, Pee Wee League and in middle school. And he's like, Samir, you're too Indian. You're never making it to the NFL. You need to consider something else. And so, yeah, that's oftentimes how I explain I got into finance. And of course, I'm just passionate about enjoying the journey. And being able to connect with people that share in a similar foundation of integrity and stewardship. And I think that's what makes life fulfilling. One of my favorite lines is that some people are so poor, all they have is money, and some are so rich, all they have is time. And there's a huge utility drop off when you reach a certain amount of money where you can take a trip, you can buy whatever car you want, you have a house, you can do, and then, does it really matter, the extra zeros? And I think that happiness is derived from within and derived with surrounding yourself. So I'm never thankful enough for that.
Yeah, that's a great, it's a great line. And the famous scholar Kobe Bryant once said that we should all have the dream, whatever that is, the championship, whatever the dream is, but we should also recognize that the dream is right now.
The dream is where we live. I think, John Lennon, life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. And
That's
as
a
you,
good, got some good quotes going on this one. I love
well, retail dealer and knowledge, we could say.
it. Well, you
But
mentioned journey, and Kobe Bryant talked about the dream is here, which he was basically talking about the journey when that's it. What intrigued you to take the path you took educationally? Then you went into finance, and then you went into technology and legal industries when you founded Blue Ocean Global Tech. Tell us about that journey, starting with education.
well, I think diligence is the mother of good luck, and you don't necessarily plan, but you find a way to figure it out. It's like, young people oftentimes have this struggle with what am I going to do with my career and the rest of my life, and there's so much pressure on them. And I think you have to
Right.
learn things, you have to try them, you have to figure it out. And for me, it's always been strive to do things that really interest you. I have always had a fear of, spending a big portion of my life doing things that, I didn't want to do, or working in a job that I wasn't satisfied and living for a Friday night and a weekend and, a month of vacation that you get in a year. So I've always tried to say, okay, what are the sacrifices and things that I can do now that will hopefully change the way that I spend my time and derive, some sort of satisfaction beyond what maybe normal people try to do. And I think you have to spend your time differently in order to get there. And I wouldn't say I'm perfect at it by any means, but I
You're not
certainly
perfect.
try. I know, right?
Oh my gosh. No, it's so true. What you're talking about there, and we are not really good at deferred gratification either, and at all probably, and then like we want things really, super fast, and that that's not necessarily the best formula, either. We founded Fifth Element on the premise that leaders and the organizations can do way better when they are doing good. And it should have been like that years and years ago, but it hasn't. And it's gone to a good point now, but not all the way there. And you clearly understand that concept. I mean, even I noticed when you were in financial advisory, your engagement around education, your engagement around customer experience, I thought that was pretty cool because it's important, and it's good for business, and it's good for people, basically. So how did that evolve for you? And share, if you could, share an example or two of how economic and social impact came together, including by founding Girl Power USA and being on boards and making a difference.
Well, I think one, there's this challenge that I've had my life is you really care, and that Churchill notion of we make a living but we get a life by what we give, and you get so much happiness by giving to others. And I try to give without remembering and receive without forgetting. I think where young people, especially in today's day and age, where there is more awareness and more proclivity for genuine social impact and doing good than ever before, but there's almost like this bifurcation where like you have to choose, like if I'm going to go to a nonprofit or NGO, or I'm going to have an ambitious career that is going to be potentially more financial rewarding. And for me, it was always a little bit sad that I think that they're potentially mutually exclusive. Yeah. And so I've always tried to do both. I think at many times I haven't necessarily been successful at it, but I've been mindful about it. And that's something that I think has allowed me to be able to create a path of for others to be the same and to create an organization where you can do both. And I think I'll just, you know, give you an example of a colleague of ours that we have at Girl Power USA and Girl Power Talk. Her name is Kothar Wanji. She is based in Uganda. And through Girl Power Talk's system of identifying brilliant young people, she'd apply. And we were so excited. We're like, oh my goodness, we have like a couple applications from Uganda, and this woman Kothar seems good. And, you know, we onboarded her to Girl Power Talk, which is a real company. And it was a real struggle because of internet and because of, you know, just learning and where she was at. And she had, you know, real challenges on the personal front and being in med school. And I remember, you know, thinking, you know, okay, we've reached kind of the 3-month point. This is where we decide, hey, is it kind of working out? And it hadn't worked out. And I remember running, I was running 5 miles, and I was thinking about things as I tend to do when I run for sure. And I remember thinking, how are we ever going to make an impact and difference in a place like Uganda if I give up on somebody? And then you have the other realities of like, you're running a business and you're paying people. So what do you do there? And we stuck it out. And then the executive director of our foundation came on to Girl Power Talk before we even formed the foundation. And she was a great mentor to Kothar. And she's just grown and blossomed since then and is going through medical school, and we're paying you know, her tuition, and she's an educator and somebody really inspirational for others. And you know, at this point, she may not believe she's inspirational, but she is. And so now we have an initiative, once we'd formed our foundation, of actually supporting doctors in Uganda. And that's been something beautiful, I would say.
Yeah, that's spectacular. You know, you never know where the dot's going to go to the next dot and the next knot, if you will. And, you know, that's, and you never know, as they say, how many Einsteins are in this whole crowd of refugees or what, or whomever, that, you know, we're not letting bloom and the benefit that we're going to get in all different ways. So, but, you know, pretty great story. And are there any special boards you're on that you found you've made, you know, a difference in?
Yeah. I mean, you know, having served on, I was on the board of the RJ Leonard Foundation that helped foster care children, you know, age out of the system, and provided them resources. And I personally taught workshops on financial literacy. I'm currently on the board of Future Business Leaders of America, which is the largest organization, student organization for kind of people who are interested in providing. I think it's called Professional Student Organization. And that's been interesting to see how that they're impacting and shaping leaders, both at the high school and college level. And I'm fortunate to be in a position. I just recently got asked to join another board, but it's one of those challenges where you know, you have two organizations, you have a nonprofit, and I'm at a point where the bandwidth is a challenge. And so you never want to take on those opportunities unless you know you can deliver. But there are a number of, you know, organizations that I've, you know, just supported or been a part of. But organizations typically geared to youth, to women's empowerment, to being able to foster opportunities are near and dear to my heart, and kind of at the cornerstone of how we're building our own foundation in Girl Power USA.
Yeah, good for you. I, you know, personal opinion, I think it's going to be the women, the moms, the women, the moms, and the youth that are going to, if you will, not to be dramatic, save the world at the end of the day. So I put that up there as my opinion, which should be a longer discussion that we don't have time for right now. But I truly believe so. You know, They say the fourth industrial revolution is about technology. Now AI obviously has gone rampant, and but there's also, you know, a virtual reality and other technologies that are there. And the fifth is supposedly about and should be about humanity. Mm-hmm. And you know, we focus a lot on the intersection of talent and impact to get enduring results, not just sustainable results, but enduring results. And can you explain a little bit about, with respect to that, what you do at Blue Ocean Global Technology as an expert on protecting reputations of individuals and corporations? And that says, how did you become a key resource for law firms, providing them that expert service, providing them that value, and that they started recognizing that value?
Sure. You know, I think that when I was launching a wealth management firm, I didn't want to be held back by technology resources. And I recognized the acceleration and migration to the internet of all kind of people, business. I mean, we all kind of cringe when we see that, you know, screen time comes up for what we did during the week. I'm always like, well, a bunch of that was YouTube when I was running, so it doesn't really count. So like, I try to, you know, reverse myself out of feeling guilty there. But, you know, in reality, our real reputation with our friends, family, clients, investors, partners is definitely amalgamated with our digital reputation. And it's a challenge for individuals and businesses to represent the trust, relationship, goodwill that they have offline. How do you represent that with authenticity online? And they're either overlooking their company reputation and not thinking about their resource allocations in terms of marketing, sales, technology from a digital reputation context, even when they're thinking about digital transformation. Or as individuals, they don't realize that actually the first thing that people do when they read about their company or they meet them or they're at an event is they Google them. Just like when I am speaking at an event and there's 1,000 CEOs and I say, how many people have met somebody and gone and Googled them in the corner or that at night? And like everyone kind of raises their hand and they feel a little guilty about it. And that reputation is paramount and underpins business success. It's also a risk if you don't manage it. So even something as simple as my own personal reputation. I remember our team at Blue Ocean said, Samir, you need a personal website. And I was like, that's so narcissistic. Like, I would never want that. And then they like kept saying it. And they're like, well, people look you up when they're thinking about doing business with Blue Ocean and you can control the narrative. So I think that having a narrative that represents your strengths, your capabilities, your accomplishments is important. And it also insulates you from negative information that can come out there. I'm thinking of a prospective client that I just got referred. He runs a pharmaceutical company. Somebody who has the same name as him, his first name is Randy, and someone else with Randy's name, full name, has had a bunch of back taxes and tax fraud. And I was on a call with him because he was referred and we were talking about things, and he said, and he recognizes the importance for his company. And I said, look, I'm only bringing this up because you referred to me, but you know, there is another Randy out there that has a bunch of taxes issues. And he's like, oh my goodness, people have mentioned that to me. And I kind of just like blew it off. He's like, people have mentioned that over the last 6 months, several people. And I'm like, well, that's not me. And I'm like, yeah, because one of the first things that pops up. So that was a realization. And the last point I'll make is that there really is choice overload. When you think about websites, social media, videos, blogs, podcasts, public relations, how do you kind of do all that and do it in a meaningful way? And I think many times individuals and companies have had a negative experience with it. They've relegated a bunch of that in-house and it's not necessarily maybe as efficient or as effective, yeah. But you need to understand what an organization wants to accomplish and link what you're doing from a marketing standpoint to your digital reputation. And so we help organizations build modern repair, and I've become an expert witness in court cases on a range of issues around not just reputation and digital marketing, but you know, on other subjects as well, to be able to quantify damages and opine on the impact, both positive and negative.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. And I think people know it. They don't necessarily have the time to address it when they should. I had this discussion even this morning. It was about, you know, IBM can afford a bad hire, a startup can't, type of thing. And these days your reputation can be hacked into in a heartbeat with, and especially with AI. Look what's happening with Taylor Swift right now, for example, just AI and stuff that they're putting out about her that's not her, and type of thing. So it's you know, I think AI is great and a lot of opportunities there, but there's always risky stuff. And I think what you're doing is really cool, not only from a financial business aspect that it's needed, but there's a lot of people, probably most of us, that don't have the time or knowledge to protect our stuff all the time and who we are, because that is really the whole ballgame of who we are. Not to sound, you know, obvious, but, you know, of who we are. And you know, if you're looking for a job or you're getting a loan or you're going to be a partner or you're going to whatever, it's going to come up. And so it's good to hear that there is a sheriff in town, as they said. And his name is Samir, I guess. So
look, we're not for everybody. We work with a pretty exclusive, sophisticated group. I think anytime there's opportunity in business, you know, there's a lot of people that kind of join that industry. We found a niche in just being able to do it the right way. I was referred to a school superintendent who had some disagreements, you know, based upon him following the board's orders, and then, you know, people had complained, so they kind of made him the scapegoat, and now he can't find another job. And he's like, look, this is my budget. I've talked to two companies, like, can you match it? And I said, look, I'm going to give you the questions to go back to those other companies. I think sometimes we kind of overlook the importance of our digital presence. And it's more than even just your opportunity set with respect to a job or business. It's about legacy. It's about information that people can find out about you. And you know, I can think of a police chief that we've helped where he was falsely accused of something, it was dismissed, and now that information is permeating out there. And so I think we need to kind of move past this notion that, hey, we can't control the results there. And what we say online, well, if it shows up, then hey, those are the things that best represent me. And we need to proactively curate a presence. And many times people just overlook, Mark, the time and resource allocation, just how much the return on investment can be when you have the speed of trust. I can think of a law firm in New York that recently hired me, and the partners, one of them is a woman, and she said, Samir, we were supposed to hire from our client, quote unquote, the most experienced and the best expert. And I know you have a page of case history. This other person that we're also considering has 2.5 pages. And she kind of went through this. I was like, look, I understand, you know, I don't have, you know, kind of maybe the gray hair of that person. She's like, exactly. But she's like, we're going to go with you. And I'm like, okay, I thought this was going a different way. She's like, you're doing the things in your life that I go to bed at night being a Yale Law School grad, and I always told myself I'd be doing, and I'm not. And if anything, that's inspiring, and maybe through this collaboration, I can get more involved in some of the things that you're doing and giving back to women. And I was like, wow, people are making decisions on me and who I am and deciding to hire me for things that have something completely, you know, a different kind of mandate. But that's the impact of reputation.
Absolutely. You know, people want to work with people they trust. They want to work with people that they think are good, which is too general a term, but good. And that there's a reason we work with leaders who care and trademark that thing just for that purpose. And you said you're great about legacy. It can affect the kids of that person and the kids and the kids as well, depending on how big a thing it is. So finally, or almost finally, you know, we find that it's leaders who care about their employees, they care about the communities, you know, local to global, are the ones that attract the high quality talent who actually want to go to work with leaders who care about where they can make money and do good at the same time. You shouldn't have to give up one for the other anymore like it used to be. What's your thoughts on the competitive advantage girl power talk offers the girls that are involved, and why leaders will look at them and what they offer them more seriously and more positively because of the experiences that you're giving them?
Well, I think that one, all organizations are looking for malleable people and talent that can be kind of the extraordinary fit. It's like, if you get the right person, that is worth more than 10 of kind of maybe the B type of fit in your organization. And so being able to find people that, you know, maybe it takes a little bit longer in terms of teaching them the right habits, but some people have the same year of experience, 5, 10, 15, 20 years in a row, and experience is relative. And so when you're thinking about the way that the dynamics of business and organizations have changed, it's like if you look at the S&P 500, you look at IBM with 400,000 employees in India, but we think of that as a blue chip United States stock. It's the medium-sized companies, it's the larger nonprofit, it's all these organizations and even small businesses that are an inherent disadvantage to bigger players. So now with the era of remote work, following kind of the ramifications of COVID, as well as our migration to things like Zoom, there is a paradigm shift in how you can gain access to resources without having to own them. And the benefits of being able to deploy and create a dedicated team, not running to Upwork or Fiverr and finding a freelancer and having a transactional relationship, which also can fill a need, but actually having a team that's dedicated to your business, that can provide you a 24-hour work cycle, that can augment and support not just the work that your team is doing and lead it, but also accelerate the internal learning curve. And so Girl Power Talk started out by saying, hey, we're not gonna like brand ourselves on any particular product or service. We're gonna make sure that we stay focused on this culture. And we built a system for identifying the most brilliant and capable young people. In order to get an interview, you have to answer 27 questions, and it goes through an AI and plagiarism checker. But what we found is in the next phase of what we're doing at Girl Power Talk and our platform, Girl Power X, is that our clients have said, you know, Samir, like, our team loves working with you at Blue Ocean, and Girl Power does a lot of the delivery for Blue Ocean clients, so they work direct. Can we get access to maybe 20 more people and, you know, maybe 60-70% of their time? Like, I really feel like that's the best investment from a human capital standpoint to help our business evolve and remain competitive. And I would say, wow, I wish I had 20 people to give you. And then it got me thinking and said, hey, look, that's probably an avenue. And if you can partner with a company that is supporting women, that is providing opportunities to mothers, and it can also be a leap up the value curve, well, then it's going to be a true win-win. And those win-wins always have longevity in business.
Yeah, win-win, what we call an omni-win. You can use that if you like, but we do charge royalties.
I'm taking it and quoting you, Mark.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting what you say there, because we talk about brand and reputation. If you hire somebody from Girl Power Talk, let's say, or somebody that's been Girl Power Talk, and they go to a company and they see people join people at the end of the day. They join leaders who care. They join people that are there. That becomes your reputation. Programs, you mentioned Nonflict before, when the organization we work for, when you have a program like Nonflict or whatever else that people see you're committed to what's important to them, they have a voice there because of that. All these things allow you to attract more great people. This is how championship sports teams are built for the most part, because they look at the character, they look at all these things, not just, you know, who's the best forward and who's the best defenseman, if you will, things like that. So it's funny how it ties into reputation and brand, if you will, of what you were saying before, but that is kind of what it's all about. Before I get to my last question, it's almost like there's a thread in your life, and I find this, which is why I ask some of these questions, even with what you did as a kid to what you're doing now with other kids that are growing up, if you will. Any thoughts on that?
What do you mean? Just trends in terms of, just help me understand. Yeah,
the type of stuff you did as a kid, whether it's cutting grass or this or that or whatever, and now helping other young women grow also, no pun intended on grass and grow there, but grow also. There's I find there's threads in people of how they are early on into what they do later.
Well, I think that curve of what you're able to do in life and your opportunities is set up relatively early. And so I think if you look back, even going back to the Roman times, the older generation always says this younger generation doesn't know what they're doing. But I think young people are brilliant, and yep, Technology is wonderful. And, you know, isn't it ironic that it brings us close to people like you and me and how we've connected that are far away, but it also takes us away from those right next to us. And I think that my perception of that is maybe a little bit biased, because the young people that I interact with have gone through kind of a rigorous process in order to get into our organization. And of course, I interact with young people across different organizations and multiple capacities, but the one that is that I've really gotten to know and that I work with, we seek out people that already have a foundation in communication and they're well read and they get excited to talk about their favorite book. Of course, not all of them, but sure. I think that generally people who know that you really care, and if you invest in them and help them in ways that maybe others wouldn't. One of my greatest compliments is people come back to me and look, whether they leave for their own reasons or we kind of say that, hey, time's run out here. People come back to me and thank me all the time with the way that I've helped them, the way that I've treated them. And they said, you know, Samir, I never really, I went to grad school. I went to two different companies since, and I never really understood how valuable it was spending time with you and the way that you treated me, because I've now gone on and I see that actually the world is tough and people don't really care and they don't take the time to invest. And so I think that the good in people is there. I think you have to go out of your way to try to bring it out, and that comes with that personal connection.
Yeah, it does. And you know, there's an expression, I'm sure you know it, people only care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Was thinking of saying that, and then I didn't want to fumble it here. So yes, that is
teamwork.
And I really try to go out of my way on the very same to really help people and be the mentor and friend and the colleague and, you know, the new contact, the new client, whatever it is that I wish I always had. And having been in some larger companies, you know, it's tough when you're young and you have ideas and nobody cares, or people take the ideas and implement them themselves, and it's discouraging. So even something as simple as giving young people a platform to publish on Girl Power Talk, or our new platform we're launching soon called Her Conversation, giving them an author page is something that, you know, I look back and when a lot of my work was, you know, maybe not used under my name and was taken elsewhere, I said, you know what, I'm going to do the opposite.
Yeah, you know, it's I've got one last question, but we're going to talk about influencers. Influencers can be negative or positive on how you take it as you go along, and but it is amazing how much of an impact, you know, you can make by caring with people, and they just go to all sorts of, you know, altitudes after that. You know, one client told me a while back, maybe about a couple of years ago, they were talking about the year 2020, and they said it was the year that flew by slowly. And I thought it was like an interesting line in itself. And it sometimes feels like 2020 was yesterday and years ago, all at the same time, which is kind of amazing. With all that that's happened, what are you most grateful for, and what are you most hopeful for?
You know, I'm grateful for, you know, the flowers outside, the snow that falls. I get grateful for peace. But mostly I think it's when you put positive energy out there in the world and you really help people, it comes back to you so much. So I did a call recently with a new client, and they're like, you know, can I get some of your energy and bottle it up? Like, where do you get it from? I'm like, it's karma. It's doing a bunch of things that maybe you think. And there were certainly times in my life where I've been told by, you know, more people going into what seemed like, you know, triple digits that, what are you doing? Like, you're flying over to India to study the Indian education system. You know, you're working on women's empowerment, and you're a CFA charter holder, and you left banking to start a company that focuses on digital reputation and technology development. Like, what are you doing with yourself? Like, you know, to be everywhere is to be nowhere. And, you know, so I think that the positive energy that I get back from an organization like Girl Power Talk, from, you know, I think of a young woman in Nigeria named Eno, who we helped because she set up a website, and somebody who set it up was taking all the donations. And now she's actually part of our foundation. We're applying for some joint grants, and the gratitude she had when we were able to cover, you know, rent because she wasn't able to make it. So those things, you know, give me gratitude that I'm in a position where I can make small differences. You know, we you know, it's Mother Teresa talked about
all small things. Yeah, I don't think there's small differences. I think every difference is a big difference. But, and what are you most hopeful for?
You know, leaders are dealers in hope. You know, I think a brighter future for youth. I think that you know, for so much of history, women have been relegated to the sidelines, and now it's in vogue, you know, to be able to support women and provide them opportunities, whether it's DEI or whether it's, so I think the injustices in history of patriarchy, and think about all that society accomplished with women largely relegated to the sidelines, that is changing. And being a part of that and being a pillar of that is something, you know, precious. It's anything and everything. And yeah, something I'm never thankful enough for.
Yeah, go moms is what I say. Go moms. Hey, thank you so much for being a leader who cares. And not only a new business relationship, but a new friend, which is great. And for sharing, you know, your stories, your wisdom, your experiences. Thanks a million.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.